When Vivacious entered the workroom with Ornacia perched upon her head, it instantly became one of the most iconic moments on RuPaul's Drag Race. But throughout the 10 seasons of the show, many moments have stood out that changed the way we think of drag. Okurr! Yes, mama. Come on, Listicle Podcast. Let's get sickening!
Today, Vivacious, mother of Ornacia, takes a look at some of the most iconic moments from 10 years of RuPaul's Drag Race, including the recent Miss Vanjie. Listen as we dive deep into why Miss Vanjie struck a nerve, how to build your chosen family, drag queens who eliminated themselves, and what really sent Willem Packin from season 4.
Plus, Grindr defends letting other companies see their users' HIV status and locations.
And Eric John Schmidt, who is running for West Hollywood City Council, shows off his nude internet pics because he says he has nothing to hide. In fact, he wants to show it off.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
I can hear you calling me Miss Vanjie. Miss Vanjie.
Don't you hear me calling you Miss Vanjie?
Yeah, I've got some.
The bitch knew that I'd be back. The bitch.
Yeah. Miss Vanjie. Miss Vanjie. 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 Miss Vanjie. 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 Miss Vivacious.
Miss Vanjie. Miss Vanjie.
One more time.
Miss Vanjie.
You always got to do it in threes.
Yeah, and then she magically appears. I try to get Vanessa Vanjie Mateo by saying it three times into a mirror, and nothing happened.
Lazy bitch never showed up.
But no, you fucked it up because you were supposed to promise the bitch that you got some cookies for her.
I have plenty of cookies.
She needs to know that she got to get these cookies, honey. If she ain't getting cookies, the cookies, honey. She ain't showing up, honey.
I got some cookies. They're in my pants.
I was going to say, turn it around, Mark. Okay.
How you doing, Vivacious?
I'm doing fine. At my final stage of packing, etc., I'm trying to run away.
Where are you going off to?
I'm off to go and take the crown from the Queen of England.
Ooh,
the UK.
Oh.
Yes. She said she wants to behead me at midnight, so I must be there on time.
Where are you going in the UK?
Wales and Cardiff.
Oh, you're going, yes. Okay.
How's your head?
My head game is tight, bitch. She's already in the suitcase. I put a condom in her mouth so it could be a smooth transition.
When you're in Cardiff, when you're at Mary's, you say hi to Polyamorous for me. She's my cousin.
Polyamorous? Okay. Mm-hmm. Who's that?
She's a drag queen, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she does drag there. I don't know if she's going to be in drag that night. She might be in her boy drag.
She might be in boy mode. Yeah. If she's like me and shit, bitch, we ain't going out if we ain't getting paid for that, huh?
Well, maybe if they hear this podcast, they'll throw her a bone and get her a gig.
Because why? Because you're not that kind of podcast. Baby, everything we've worked for, we've gotten ourselves. We built this podcast from the ground up, you fucking bitch.
As I throw some cookies in your face.
So it's really extraordinary that Vanessa Vanjie Mateo's exit moan or ennui, creams of ennui.
Existential crisis.
Existential crisis of saying her name three times, yeah, really caught people's imagination. And even Michelle Visage immediately turns to RuPaul and is like, what was her name again?
Miss
Vanjie.
Oh, you better stop.
Yeah, because RuPaul's stitches will start exploding.
She can't laugh too hard.
It's week two. And no one that I know says that they can remember who left on week two, but they just know Miss Vanjie, Miss Vanjie, Miss Vanjie.
What the hell is her name again?
It's iconic, you know? I think the thing about her leaving like that and just doing that, it had an ethereal quality to it. It had, like, my hopes have been dashed, but I'm still calling out my name so you remember it.
It's a melancholic cry that tugs at the soul. Yeah. It's a minor chord that really tugs at the heart and the soul, and it pulls you in. And think about it. How many people in life have seen something like that? Or, you know, it's like if something goes sad and it's like that tone, and this is what she pulled from. And that's why it resonates so well with so many people. Mm. She's really tugging on their heartstrings.
In a lot of ways, it really captures drag, because when you dress up in drag, you're like, here I am, recognize me, and there she is on stage calling out her own name, saying, listen, I was here.
Can't you hear me calling myself out, Miss Vanjie?
I know you hear me calling you, Miss Vanjie. Mm-hmm. That bitch knew that I'll be back.
She's probably also like shading her drag mom, right? Alexis Mateo, who couldn't say Banjie, so she would say Vanjie, right?
It is funny that Alexis Mateo can't say Banjie.
Banjie.
Well, Banjie. You know, it's due to the, you know, her accent is very thick. So yeah. they had to come up with a, well, think about it. Isn't in Spanish the V is pronounced as B?
Yes.
Well, for example, when I used to have a talk show on cable access in Austin, Texas, in the early 90s, before RuPaul, I used to call it El Show de Faustina, mm-hmm. not El Show de Faustina. Right. Because you know, when you're Latino and you have a hard time pronouncing sh and b, the b sound and the sh sound is hard to say.
No, b and v are the same in Spanish, pretty much, depending on where you go. I think sometimes bueno, they do differentiate. Or, yeah.
Y Vasco.
But see, the last people they say vamos a la playa.
Vaca y bueno is very two different sounds.
But some people say vaca.
Yeah, and that's because they're Puerto Rican.
You know? But a lot of Spanish speaking people do that. Or they say, do you say vamos a la playa? Or do you say
vamos? Vamos.
Don't say vamos. Vámonos.
Vamos a la playa. Oh, oh.
That's an
vamos
song.
A la playa. Oh, oh.
Well, I won't be going to the beach in England. It's cold over there.
Honey, I don't know if I can go to the beach myself. It's like I got the
skin cancer
on my shoulder.
Beach, if you go in the water, the water will just go right into that hole and fill you up on the inside.
He'll sink.
Well, I want to do a shout out to people who've been really you know, sharing the GoFundMe and donating to help cover my medical costs, because it's really it's humbling to having a bunch of strangers, people, although they're not strangers, they're people who have been listening to this podcast for years, who we consider friends and family, helping us out. Yeah,
we call them family.
And even if we haven't met in person, we're friends because of our common interests.
We've met through spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've met
through the internet.
So right now we're just like waiting to hear, and they're going to take my stitches out next Monday. And then, so the prognosis is very good. And I just, you know, hoping to take some days off work to recover and be able to give my full attention to doing the podcast and cooking with drag queens. Mm-hmm. Which Vivacious will be coming to Chicago, right?
So they say. I was told that they wanted me to come down there to learn how to burn water, since my black ass can't cook.
You don't even know how to make jerk chicken. Come on.
Girl, I know how to jerk a chicken. I just don't know how to make jerk chicken. There are two different skills. One requires gun oil. The other one requires ingredients from Whole Foods. Big difference.
I wanted to have a conversation with you, Vivacious, because you are one of the queens behind one of the most iconic moments of RuPaul's Drag Race. And that is the entrance that you had into the workroom where you've revealed Ornacia. And RuPaul asked you on the runway, does that head have a name? And you said, Ornacia.
Ornacia is now 8 years old. She did not show up on the show because of RuPaul's Drag Race. How she came to be was, I had to do a show years ago depicting the four elements, and I needed a superhero character that was larger than life. So on top of my head, and also in my audition for RuPaul's Drag Race, my audition included Ornacia as one of my club kid costumes in white.
So they knew they were getting Ornacia as part of the package deal. They ran two queens for one.
Oh. They didn't know that she was going to show up for the TV show. I improved her before we got to the TV show. She will always get an upgrade, but she's been around. This is her 8th year, so Drag Race on my season is only 4 years, so she was 4 years before then.
And what motivated you to take a styrofoam foam head that usually people use to attach their wigs to style them? What made you want to attach that to your own head as the wig itself?
If you watch RuPaul's video Back to My Roots, when that first came out, RuPaul used to talk about little K-Ron, baby boy, Cornisha, that mm-hmm. worked out at her mother's hair salon shop. And I drew all my wigs are named after some black girl based on what the name would have been inside RuPaul's mama's salon. So Ornacia, since it was a headpiece, it's really an ornament. And one of my favorite names from Back to My Roots was Cornisha. So I was like, okay, we need a name for this bitch if you're going to stick around your head. Half ornament, half Cornisha, Ornacia.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, she's an ornament.
That's really good, because I don't get that in the song. Ornacia doesn't explain that, does it?
She's not supposed to. This is now Ornacia. In the song, Ornacia is now a realized human being who went to the competition to kill the other bitches. But Bianca beat out everybody and stole the fucking Bianca Bucks and walked away with that shit like a thief in the morning.
Ornacia came, Ornacia slayed. How does it go?
Ornacia came, Ornacia slayed, blew them bitches all away, snatched the crown she should have held, who said that walk all over town, held a rain with flair, made them kiss her dairy ear. Yes, Miss Girl, you must agree, Ornacia went down in her story. Ornacia. Okay.
And really, you know, as part of Drag Race history and just the modern age that we live in with drag, Ornacia definitely is, I would consider, one of the top iconic moments.
Well, you know, earlier today, I just saw a clip for the next episode of Drag Race. Mm. And again, on another season, I am referenced.
Honey, it is the totem pole of drag. Yes.
Monique used the word vivacious to speak to the character in the mini challenge. So whether she used the word as something as full of energy or full of life, bitch, my name was mentioned again. And that has been every single season since season 6, bitch.
Mm. Yes,
in your face.
Yes, girl.
Yes, queen.
Get your claws into that. Hold on to it and don't let go. It's yours.
Bitch.
It's yours.
For all future queens auditioning for season 13, 14, 15, and 16, Vivacious, bam.
So what are some defining moments from the 10 seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race that stand out for you?
If I was going to start from season 1, I'd say Chanel jumping up in the air, her headpiece falling off, the Medusa head, and at the end they asked, who do you think should be eliminated? And she decided to eliminate herself because she didn't feel that, they valued her as an entertainer. Mm-hmm. That would be the first gag of the century, or the first face crack on RuPaul's Drag Race, mm-hmm. so to speak.
There was a lot that first season, you know, well, I think probably the first couple seasons, but definitely that first season is about people talking about, like, you don't get my drag, you don't understand what I do, that kind of thing.
I do believe that sentiment, because if you look at the show, it seems as though it's always trying to push it in the realm of, it has to be fishy, it has to be fishy, it has to be fishy, mm-hmm. and there's a world of people going out there going, bitch, we represent the Lollipop Guild, and we don't see that fish. Bitch.
Mm. Certainly, you know, Chanel was the first queen to eliminate herself, and I can't think of another drag queen that eliminated herself on Drag Race. Ben De La Creme and Adore Delano eliminated themselves on All Stars, but didn't Willem Belli technically eliminate himself by flaunting all the rules. He had, so this is what actually happened. Why Willem
from our the latest version?
The latest version. Obviously, it's not ever going to be an official version because there's arguments over the production company World of Wonder and Willem. But it was that Willem was bringing his boyfriend over to the hotel room, bringing costumes, smoking pot, getting high, and having him spend the night. And when they were knocking to waking him up the next day to filming, the boyfriend would just like, oh, have a good day. You know, like, like he just brought.
Is that what he said to us, like, when we interviewed him back?
No, he gave us some cryptic, non-committal answer. Yeah.
Okay, so that's, well, what, my that's philosophy what we're able to piece together from what a bunch of people have said.
Yeah.
So it's all a legend.
If Willem did all of that, send the bitch home. Sorry, that's breaking every damn rule on the planet. Because everybody else, I mean, they put us in a solitary room. And I remember one day, you know, I like to stay out of the sun because I don't want to get any blacker because there's too much racial discrimination out there already. So I like to try to stay a light-skinned white woman. But one day after being inside and sequestered in that room for many, many days, I just needed to feel the sun on my skin. And I went to the window for about 5 minutes, and an hour later, they came knock on the door and go, step away from the window, bitch. We can see you. And I'm like, can a black bitch breathe? So if I can't get to do even taking a little bit of sun from the window, she's bringing in a man in there. Come on now.
So I guess what they did, like the California girls, they'll come and pick you up at your house. So the California girls also, they could bring more stuff because they weren't flying it out there, right? And so the boyfriend just followed them. Followed them in a car to see which hotel they went to.
Like Jessica Fletcher in Murder, She Wrote.
There is nothing, to be honest, Willem, I'm not going to hate you on the game for that, bitch, because if that's what it takes for you to get it there, then so be it. Mm-hmm. I guess you probably didn't know that there were either a monitor in the room or that they actually have security cameras trained at each room door to see if you go inside or out. Mm-hmm. That's the part that Willem probably wasn't aware of, that there are cameras trained at the doors.
Mm-hmm. So you were on season 6 of Drag Race.
Yes.
And when you got eliminated that morning, did they ever give you a checkout notice or a slip underneath your hotel room door?
No.
So season 5 was the last season they stopped doing that.
It takes a while for the show to learn how to write their own script properly to make it seem a little bit more natural. But what I've learned from then is this. When you are not in the workroom and when you are home after they let you go for the day, those producers and RuPaul, I believe that they go through every piece of costume and scrutinize from head to toe your possibility and chances of moving on to the next round.
I agree with that.
And if the costumes that you have do not make you viable to get to the next round, in regards to the acting, of course, et cetera, then they start to slowly write the dialogue and the script and the narrative to get you off the show.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just how I believe that's how it works.
In terms of iconic moments, one of the contestants has contributed the most language and slang is, come on, season 6, let's get sickening, is LaGanja Estranja, who at the time it seemed really grating, all these catchphrases that she was popping in and out, but you know, Alaska made a whole song about it, and it's like, to this day,
they stick around.
Those moments that LaGanja was seemed kind of annoying were actually really memorable.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, they always say, which was hindsight is a bitch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, people, you know, they look at it at the moment and try to grade it in a wrong way, not realizing that if you had foresight, you would realize it would work out in the end. I think what it was that was might have been grading about it was it sounded kind of slangbonics, but being said in a white tone. Mm-hmm. So that's probably what rubs some people the wrong way. But as RuPaul said, bitch, it's drag. If you're going to sit there and take drag to the epicenter and say a white person can't sound black, a black person can't sound white, then you've fully lost the whole concept of drag.
Mm.
I feel very attacked. Come on, Mama. Yes, God. All those originated from Laganja on, and you know, and those have been said elsewhere outside of the show, but the first time they were ever uttered on Drag Race was out of Laganja Estrange's mouth.
Right, and it was actually done by a white queen from down south. I think Mark can find the clip. She's in like some nail salon somewhere, and she's saying everything that you hear from Laganja's mouth. And you'll be like, oh, so that's where the original comes from.
Oh, I don't know this. Tell me more. I'll Google it.
Shit. Sorry, excuse my language. My friend Adrian, when she gets up in the morning, will be able to get me that info and I can send it to you. But at that point, you'd be like, oh, wow, so this is where it originated from.
So she just saw a video and she's like, oh, I'm going to say all those things.
Uh-huh. Yes. Oh.
How about Alaska's, hey, which I remember the first time Alaska did that was on this podcast.
Yeah.
With Sharon Needles. And I said, and I turned to her afterwards and I said, girl, that is never going to catch on. That is so fucking annoying. Well, she's like, we'll see, Fausto.
Well, okay. If you want to dispel that myth also, it was done by two other queens.
Isis and Coco.
Isis and Coco. Yes. Right. And so Alaska then brought that to life. But then if you also want to go that route as to what did another queen bring onto the show, when a Dorset party, that was originally Mayhem Miller's catchphrase for many years in L.A. So now that we have Mayhem on the show, I guess it's double validation. Mm. So a door is safe.
And to clarify, Isis and Coco got the hey from Mystique Summers. Is it Mystique Summers? Is that the one?
I think so. And Mystique, you know, Mystique Summers
on... If I'm from Chicago, I'll whoop your ass.
And that whoop your ass took place on Untucked with Morgan McMichaels. Mm-hmm. It did not take place on Drag Race. Right. But one thing that that another catchphrase that everybody uses to this day is absolutely Gia Gunn mysteriously responding to the judges when they were giving her some really sincere feedback. She kept dismissing it over and over again, going absolutely.
Well, it must mean something different to her.
You know, Gia Gunn is a smart bitch. She realized if they were going to sit there and try to take her off the show, now is the time to get your catchphrase in, bit girl. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Laganja threw all those catchphrases out in season 6. She's got enough merchandise for life.
Mm-hmm. Mm. What about Jasmine Masters? No tea, no shade, no pink lemonade.
Well, that's a variation from Coco Montrese's no tea, no shade from the season previously.
Yeah.
So this was just an addition to that. There's nothing wrong with it. It works.
LaShawn Beyond saying, this is not RuPaul's best friend race. And that was, she was saying that to Jiggly Caliente.
One of the best lines ever in the history of Drag Race, including Tammy Brown's Walking Children in Nature, which was a fierce reunion, honey. She's like, I don't see you walking children in nature.
Well, it was so weird, and it just was seemed like it was so out of left field, or it was on Planet Tammy Brown, because nobody was like, what does that even mean? And I guess it was kind of edited in such a way. She said that she does volunteer work, and that she often like will take kids out and walk them in, walk kids in nature. So she's
take
like,
them on nature help, walks.
Yeah, take them on nature walks. She was volunteering to do stuff to enrich these kids' lives. And so she was trying to make some kind of point about like, hey, you know, yes, I do drag, but also too, like I do other things and I walk.
I don't
kids
see
in
you
nature.
Walking children in nature, nature, RuPaul. Like I do.
Uh-huh. But you know what? RuPaul herself has used that many times to help add to the life of it. Mm-hmm. And it's such a beautiful respect mm-hmm. that they both have for each other, you know, that it can be reused from a different point of view. So it's awesome.
Shangela LaQuifa Watley, hallelujah! And man, how many times did she come out of a box on that show?
well, that's a moment with that one. But when she got up and read the eyes, teeth, filth, universe, and ascorbic acid off of Mimi, I'm first, honey.
That was good.
That was everything.
Time out. Hold up, sweetheart. Let's get it together before you want to read. I don't have a sugar daddy, sweetheart. Everything I've had I've worked for, and I worked for to get, and I built myself. So you need to know that 100%. I don't have a sugar daddy. I've never had a sugar daddy. If I wanted a sugar daddy, yes, I probably can go out and get one, because I'm what? Sickening. I could never have a sugar daddy, because you are not that kind of girl. Baby, everything I've had, I've worked for, and I've gotten myself. I built myself from the ground up, you fucking bitch! And then she threw a drink in her face.
You cannot end that whole speech without the sound of water going across the room and hit that. Yes, honey. All of that's called sealed with a kiss.
That is, Shangela was born to be a great orator.
Yes, she was. That booming voice, honey, that booming voice.
And she is definitely one of my favorite, besides you, one of my favorite Drag Race girls to have on the show, because she is so much fun to talk to.
I'm a big Shangela fan. To me, she's the underdog that doesn't quit. You try to take her down, she's going to keep rising stronger than the last Phoenix's reincarnation.
And I predict now that the last queen ever to be crowned winner of RuPaul's Drag Race will be Shangela, and then they'll end the whole series. May she never win. May she always be back for a future season of All Stars.
Could you imagine if she shows up for All Stars 4, honey?
I would like that.
RuPaul would turn around and go, well, you bitches didn't give her due justice, honey, so she's here again.
That would be wonderful.
She'll be back. Then it's a paying gig for her.
Then RuPaul would go, hashtag, feel threatened, bitches.
It would be amazing. What about Alyssa Edwards' tongue pot? Can you guys do that? No, not a cluck. It's a...
No, I can't.
Yeah, you got it. That just kind of came out, and Alyssa's secret is that she makes her facial expression.
Yeah, I think the reason why it works. I think the reason why it works is to do it. You have to put your tongue at the far your
the roof of your mouth
to make it work.
Bianca Del Rio saying, not today, Satan, not today.
I think Bianca said in later interviews that she didn't know that would become the thing. Because she says, I just said a bunch of shit, and that's the thing that the editor is stuck with. And she says, that's the nature of doing catchphrases on the show. You just say a bunch of stuff, and maybe something will catch, maybe something won't.
I don't remember if that was the case. I think she literally just said it right there on a spot about something that was said towards her, and she sealed the queen who said it, and I think it was towards Ben de la Creme. You might want to check that. I think it was when Ben de la Creme said that Bianca was skating by on her wins, and Bianca was like, not today, Satan.
Wow.
What about Eat It? Latrice Royale. I'm going to make them eat it.
I don't think there's that. Listen, you look like Latrice Royale. There's not much left for anybody else to eat. I think she ate it all.
I'm going to make them eat it. It's like, what is there?
What, the leftover? The crumbs?
The bones?
What's left?
What about RuPaul saying, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Probably one of the strongest lines ever created from the show.
But one of the other catchphrases, the time has come for you to lip sync
for your life, Betty.
Actually comes from, do you know where that comes from?
No.
From Top Model. America's Next Top Model.
And so that moment on Drag Race actually owes itself to America's Next Top Model, where Tyra Banks would turn to the models and, you know, fill in the blank for your life. And so that was borrowed heavily for Drag Race, and then America's Next Top Model went off the air for a while, and people forgot where it came from.
And now it's back.
But I don't know. I'm not sure if the new seasons have that moment, because now it's closely associated with RuPaul's Drag Race.
We shall see.
What about Mimi? I'm first picking up India Farah and RuPaul saying, "Drag is not a contact sport."
That was probably one of the most fiercest moments in drag queen history, because it shows insecurity in terms of a queen who was afraid of another queen who was doing the damn thing. So I need to try to block, because remember, she didn't just pick her up. You have to go back to all the steps before that. She kept trying to stand in front of India Farah to try to go, you don't need to watch India perform. You need to watch me. And it's like, girl, if you're a performer, you are not worried about what the next person is doing. You came to do one job, and that is to emote and perform. And Mimi was doing everything to try to stop India from performing. And when she realized she couldn't beat India at performing, she decided, let me pick her up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mimi says that, you know, I call her the King Kong of drag, which she hates when I say that. Because she's
well,
like,
she really
favorite.
Is the King Kong of drag.
And so she says that, you know, she's always kind of like, that's been part of her act. And they knew it was part of her act that that she does that. She picks up audience members. She picks up other drag queens. She carries them around, you know, and she still does it to this day. So it's part of who she is. So it is being authentic. And she was kind of like, listen, this bitch is upstaging me. Let me see if I can upstage her.
Sweetie, so, you upstage with your performance, not with your physical, you know, touching.
Yeah. But India did not appreciate it, that's for sure.
No, she didn't.
You know, there were so many great moments early on. I'm thinking about like Fifi O'Hara and Sharon Needles. They were the OG you know, villain and hero rivals. And certainly, you know, Fifi O'Hara screaming to Sharon Needles, go back to Party City.
And, you know, for years, we just thought she just meant that because of her costumes and stuff. And then I was like, oh, my God, what if she meant Party City with a capital T? Because, you know,
it's like a
Sharon's
math
been
reference.
Very open about her meth, you know, her meth use in the past.
Sharon had.
Yeah, Sharon had. And so I was like, maybe she was trying to say that she was all methed out. Because you even had, what was her name, the princess say to Sharon, like in the mirror, she's like, I like the way you look. You look like you're addicted to meth.
No, you look really hot. You look like a meth addict.
And Sharon's just I am a meth addict.
the princess later said that the producers of the show told her to say that.
Oh.
And so she felt very betrayed by that. And I was like, well, why'd you even say it if you didn't believe it, you know? But that's the thing, you feel like you're in a state of mind, you want to cooperate with the producers, and sometimes you feel like you're led on to say things that you don't really mean.
Well, why you think I look so fierce inside that box, girl?
But we did talk to Fifi about that Party City reference, and she said, no, Sharon literally showed up with bags from Party City, and so that's why I said that. I'm like, okay. But she thought it was hysterical that we thought it was about math.
What is the most like iconic Snatch Game moment? I would say definitely Bianca Del Rio as Judge Judy. And then saying, beauty fades, dumb is forever.
Bob is Carol Channing.
Oh, yeah. She did two. She did Uzo Aduba from Orange is the New Black. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle, she's like... Oh, no, she started at Uzo Aduba, and she's like, yeah, I'm kind of bored with this. Let me switch to Carol Channing.
I would also say Willem playing Britney Spears.
I don't even remember that.
Honey, she came with a cardboard cutout, and she sat there on stage and left the cardboard cutout and walked off the stage.
I don't remember that.
Well, and it's not the first time someone's done Carol Channing. Pandora Box did her on season two. And she won people over really early on and sort of redefined the game. I mean, we're talking about iconic moments. Pandora redefined Snatch Game for all the other drag queens by shining so well in season two.
She didn't redefine it. She defined it because it was the first episode,
correct,
the first season that they had it. You know,
that was the first time.
Yeah.
Pandora also brought the issue to the front of what do you have against campy queens on RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yeah, because before Pandora Box, there was no room for that.
Right, which then gave us the winner of Jinx Monsoon.
And Jinx Monsoon during Little Edie from Grey Gardens, you know, the tragic character, you know, and Little Edie's a big...
Iconic.
Extremely iconic, and also, you know, Grey Gardens is very much a film of high interest to LGBT people on the East Coast, but the rest of the country really doesn't know about Grey Gardens and this amazing documentary, and so it was really great that she was able to popularize and gain interest in that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And certainly, I can't remember which drag queen did Venus Extravaganza on Snatch Game. But the touch the skin, touch the skin all over.
That wasn't Venus, dear. That was Krista LaBeija, and that was Ajna.
And that was recently. You must be thinking of something. Well, it must not be iconic if you don't remember it. Because that's the idea, is you have to do a... if you remember it, then it's iconic. If you don't remember, it's not iconic.
I don't remember if Ajna... Did Ajna do Venus on her season of All Stars?
So Venus Extravaganza in the film Paris is Burning said that wonderful speech, touch the skin, honey, touch the skin. You can't take it. You're just an overgrown orangutan.
I think Ajna might have touched upon it in her season for Snatch Game. And then I think Ajna came back as Krista LaBeija for All Stars. I think that's how it works. So she refined her.
She did Krista LaBeija. Yes, correct.
She refined the LGBT character when she came back for All Stars, and she was more into the character. And I think we could probably agree that Ajna might be a bit influenced by Paris is Burning and the Queenie.
So hold on a second. So no one's ever done Venus Extravaganza on Snatch Game? Oh, that's a good one.
To my knowledge, I'm not sure. Maybe Ajna did.
Oh, Jay Jolie did Venus Extravaganza.
Did she?
That's what I'm reading here. God, I didn't remember that moment. That's definitely not iconic, because it went right over my head.
I don't remember any of that happening ever. Like,
what about Valentina not wanting to lip sync for her life because she didn't know the words, so she put a mask on her face?
I think she already had the mask, didn't she? Wasn't the mask part of the costume?
No, the mask was part of the costume, and they were waiting for her to take it off.
But she never took it off because she felt she didn't know the lyrics.
And according to Shea Coulee, Mama, it's only 7 words. What are you not remembering?
Mm-hmm.
What about Roxy Andrews weeping over being left at a bus stop by her mother, and then RuPaul? I think it was one of the most intimate moments of the show, is RuPaul weeping and saying that family, you know, we get to choose our family.
I think that was very beautiful, because it brought me back to Vanjie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Vanjie.
Yeah.
Vanjie. It's one of those moments that tugs at your heart. But, you know, as a person whose parents destroyed their future by refusing to let them finish college because they were gay, that's what happened to me. I could put myself in Roxy Andrews' shoe, you know, in terms of that feeling of your parents leaving you at the bus stop. I mean, that is probably the most detrimental thing that could destroy your psyche for the rest of your life. It leaves an indelible mark on who you are.
And so how do you overcome that, or you just don't?
You find strength day by day by day, but you also have to remember, I think Roxy was able to get through it because of her grandmother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that grandmother of Roxy's loves her unconditionally.
You find, you know, a new family either inside your own family or elsewhere.
Yeah. You know, Roxy's grandmother comes out and supports her, and Roxy's a fierce performer. And, you know, thank you, Grandma, for, you know, being there for Roxy.
And who is that for you?
Girl, Fleshlights and Dildos Don't Count as Family.
But I would say, like, and nieces.
You know, when times have been hard for me personally, certainly you've been a friend there on the phone for me. You know, even though we don't live in the same city, we have.
Well, that's because that. you take a lot of morphine when and then you call me, and then you don't realize that you're you're off your meds, and then I start cussing you out, and to you it sounds like words of endearment.
Oh, vivacious.
What translation? I know, right? That is so wrong. I love you, Foster.
I love you too, vivacious.
I love you,
Mark.
Aw, I love you too, darling.
I would say my roommate, Ray, which is around the corner, probably about to fall asleep. He's been there for me from day one, but I've also been there for him from day two.
How long have you guys lived together?
12 years, but before that we were hanging out for maybe 9 years before that.
Oh, wow.
He used to be my assistant back in the days when I worked in a straight club, so he would come in and, like, get my costumes together at the end of the night. etc. And I used to come up here if it snowed because it was easier to get to work instead of driving, going back 3 hours to Queens to come back into the city. And so I would stay up here. And then when the opportunity came to move in, I was like, shit, yeah, I'll take it. So I'm 15 minutes from work now.
What advice would you give to young LGBT folks who need to build a chosen family?
Watch out for shady bitches.
Yeah.
Watch out for cheeky bitches. Cheeky means the person who will take your confidence and use it right back against you in the next argument.
Sure.
Cheeky.
Don't let one betrayal rob you of trusting another person in the future.
Well, that or you slash the bitch's car tire and cut up her wigs when she ain't looking. Yeah, and I would say, you know, listen to your inner voice. It will tell you who's good and who's not, and that'll probably help you along the way.
What about gossip? I do notice that, and I receive this a lot from people, like, don't hang out with that person because they're bad news. And people just gossip so much, especially in drag scenes.
90% of the time, the gossip is usually the truth.
So just you said believe the gossip.
Huh?
I would argue that that usually the person giving you gossip, telling you things like that, it's usually stemming from a place of jealousy.
It depends. For some strange reason, God has granted me the ability to read most people's aura, and I can tell authenticity from fake. But I always say this also. When you meet a person that's always talking about somebody else, trust and believe, when your back is turned, they're talking about you too. So take 3 steps away from that person and look elsewhere for a friend.
Mark, what is it that you said when somebody tells you they're an asshole?
When somebody tells you, when somebody tells you they're an asshole the first time, believe them.
Always.
You know.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody shows you their ass the first time, believe it.
And most recently, like in the last 4 or 5 years on Drag Race, we've seen a lot of entertainers and artists from this podcast and on Cooking with Drag Queens make their way onto Drag Race. And probably one of the most controversial or polarizing drag queens has been the Vixen from Chicago. How do you feel like she's coming across so far in season 11?
I think she's coming across as very likable. I mean, last week I named her as the shit starter because as soon as they got back to that room, she started in with the Aquaria slash thing. But as the show went on, you realize that you peel back that layer and there's a nice, wonderful human being underneath. And she's likable, which is refreshing. I always worry about black girls going on Drag Race because, you know, sometimes they try to portray them as angry black citizens of America. And thank God, even though the Vixen came in and said, I'm here to fight, it's more like she's here to spread peace, love, and hair grease.
Yeah, you know, I want nothing but the best for the Vixen, and I'm so proud that she's managed to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I think this week in the Tootin' Boots for season 10, she was given a toot for the outfit that she wore, that Phoenix Fire outfit.
Oh, they fantastic.
They loved all the proportions of it. I was like, yay, Vixen, good for you, mama, turning out.
And, you know, and I do appreciate a contestant that isn't afraid to speak her mind and stand up for herself or for other people.
Well, and especially when there's something going on and like they're acting like nothing's going on. You're like, hello, there's something going on.
And, you know, hypocrisy needs to be challenged and double standards and feelings do need to be talked about.
Sometimes you need to break the bliss and show reality. And I believe that Vixen is that person.
So you think Vixen's going to leave an indelible mark on Drag Race?
Yes, because she is a fierce, fierce, fierce dancer. Like, if I could go back in time and get anybody's body with anybody's move, I would try to show up in Vixen's body in my next reincarnation.
She's a fantastic dancer. That's how we met her the first time we were filming a thing with for Shay. Drag Queens with Shay Coulee. And then she came out on the stage. We're like, wow, who's this fantastic dancer?
Uh-huh. Miss Vixen is no joke when it comes to carrying on. She knows how to cut up real good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and it's something I've grown to accept. It's like, you know, Feast of Fun is very much an incubation chamber for a lot of artists. And when you know they've hit it big, because in some ways they graduate and we never hear from them again, you know, and they,
for some of you queens out there who don't know, if you really want to get a heads in or heads up, get on Feast of Fun. It'll help you open up the true creature of who you are on the inside. So you might want to contact Feast of Fun for an interview.
I would say, like, you know, and for you have your own reasons out there, art, young artists in the making. Don't necessarily, you know, if you feel like we're not the cup of tea for you, seek out those opportunities for you to develop and collaborate with other people.
Yeah, elsewhere.
You know, I would say, like, Shay Coulee, you know, one thing that helped her a lot is that she's somebody who's very interested in collaborating with other people. And I think Lipstick City really helped her get on Drag Race.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. That was very groundbreaking and it was good to see.
Even though, you know, the production had problems with sound and, you know, there were moments where they were confiding in us that they were very frustrated in the making of that film. But I kept saying to all of them, it's like, you know, those problems are going to arise no matter what you do. Even Drag Race, with all their money and success, they have their own problems, too. And it's
that's the job. The problems is the job.
The problems is the job. The fun aspects is the performance and the show biz and the glamour and the costumes and the pageantry. That's the reward.
Even T.S. Madison runs into technical difficulties sometimes recording her show, and she has to run around and fix the wires. It happens.
When we were filming our podcast with Courtney Act, the computer stopped 4 times during the film, the recording, and I was so mortified about that. And sweet Courtney Act patiently repeated things that she had said, and she was such a pro.
Yeah, she is.
You know, and that to me, just, you know, I'm really excited by the queens on season 11. But now I'm feeling like a little bit
season 10. You mean
season 10? Yeah.
You're already ready for season 11.
I'm like, I got to audition myself, honey. I was watching Forced Feminization and all those drag queen videos that we used to make almost 10 years ago ourselves that led to Cooking with Drag Queens, and I was like, you know, we did some really great stuff with Pandora Box and Lola Von Miramar and Sharon Needles early on in the history of this podcast that really stands the test of time. I don't know. Have you ever seen our videos, like the ones where we're beating up Mark to try to dress him up as a beautiful drag queen?
No, I haven't.
It was our most popular video on a channel called Forced Feminization.
Yes.
But the Cooking with Drag Queens with Kim Chi just surpassed it.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be time to have a Forced Feminization 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to watch the musical last night on NBC, Jesus Christ Superstar?
No, I don't watch TV.
No?
Jesus Christ Superstar. You know, I miss my cracked out hippies dancing to Twyla Tharp choreography in the middle of the California desert.
Mm-hmm. But it was a cute show. John Legend did a great job. Everybody seemed to really like it, except everybody all complained that he didn't have the chops to get through that song Gethsemane, because I guess there's some really high notes in that.
It's a hard score to sing, you know, and it's like, you know, any time an actor or a singer plays Jesus Christ, they're usually cursed. Like Ted Neely did Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ Superstar, the film. Mm-hmm. And instead of having new roles for the rest of his life, he was touring in Jesus Christ Superstar productions for the rest of his life and still does them to this day.
He still plays Jesus?
He's still playing Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Well, maybe he wants to be Jesus.
But I think also, you know, they say that there's kind of like a curse of playing Jesus, that you don't really get a lot of roles afterwards, because once they see you as Jesus, they don't want to see you as anything else.
They don't want to see you as... Wasn't there an actor who played Jesus in one movie, and then he played the devil in another
30
one?
Years later.
30 years later, yeah.
Yeah, because it was, you
which
know.
Means he spent 30 years in Hollywood trying to get another role, and they wouldn't give him one.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ironically cast him as the devil.
That would make sense.
Speaking of the devil, have you seen Grindr? I guess it's been revealed that they're sharing personal data of people's HIV status with third-party companies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? To be honest, I'm not going to be surprised. I found out about a year ago that Grindr was owned by a Chinese company. So at that point, if I hear the word Chinese, it means they don't give a F about Americans or, you know, privacy. China is notorious. Isn't China right now wanting to sign a bill that it's going to judge you on your social media presence and your financial presence, that if you are below certain points, you cannot take the train?
Oh, honey, that's an episode of Black Mirror.
No, that's real.
No. Yeah. No, we're not talking. No, it's not Black Mirror. This is a part of the new direction of where China is going within the next 6 months.
So they're using social media to be like Big Brother and is watching you.
Not so much. No. They are going to judge you. So, and not so much from the social media part. If your financial status is not at a certain level, you are not allowed to take the train by the airport or take flights or anything like that. They're now putting you inside this digital box of who they think what makes up your makeup. And that's how they want to judge you in terms of how you can interact with society in the future.
Mm. Well, one of my friends on Facebook says he was robbed at gunpoint by a Grindr trick. The guy came over to his house, pulled out a gun, and stole stuff from him. And I was like, is this an April Fool's Day joke? Like, I asked today because he posted it yesterday. He's like, I really wish it was an April Fool's Day joke, but it's for real.
Girl, when you're doing that in the no longer Craigslist, but Grindr or Scruff or Boy Ahoy or Hornet or whatever, meet them in the front of your house first.
Doesn't mean they can't still have a gun.
That's true. But at least people see them. There's less opportunity for them to.
Well, what you should do is when you meet them, you should go smile, take a picture of them, and go, I just uploaded it to the server in case I get killed.
Mm-hmm.
That can deter a lot right then and there.
That'll stop a lot of murders, that's for sure.
I guess, are we becoming more careful with privacy and anonymous strangers? I feel like, Mark, you were saying that, like, Grindr and Scruff are on these hookup apps have kind of reached their heyday.
I feel like when they first came out, people were all on them. They were all about that anonymous hookup. And then as people got kind of used to it, they're just kind of like, it's not necessarily the thing that they're into as much as they used to be. There was a novelty to it. And after you have random sex with a few hundred guys, you're just kind of like, I might just rather just stay in and read a book.
After sucking a million cocks, the next one doesn't seem so special.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. Because at one time I used to be a whorey hole.
Mm-hmm.
A whorey hole is when you have a glory hole in your mouth, in your throat, and you're a whore. A whorey hole. It's a new word. And after a while, you just realize, bitch, it's not worth it anymore. Just go back to being a regular human being. And, you know, why hook up with five guys in one night at a club when you can just have a meaningful relationship with one? Whorey hole, new Wikipedia word, new hashtag word RuPaul doesn't have if she had left me on the show. Whorey hole.
I have a hard time believing that RuPaul would say whorey hole on VH1, but she might.
She might appropriate it from me in the future. Who knows? Whorey hole.
Yeah, but I think
it might be in a rusical one day.
Well, you know, it's weird though, because I think when you set your HIV status on Grindr or any of these other apps, you're being open about who you are. But then I don't know, do you really expect all that data to be taken from somebody else?
To not be
else?
Used on a third party?
Yeah.
You know what it is? I think this comes in lieu of what's been happening with Facebook and its analytical program. Mm-hmm. That's been selling a third party, and now all of a sudden everybody wants to now talk about third parties As a matter of fact, I think Samsung phones just did an update a while ago, and the update is now very specific as to what information can go out on your phone. Not only that, when I turned on SoundHound, which is to find out what a track might be in terms of, you know, identifying a track online.
Yeah.
It's now telling me, and this app was never on the phone before, it's going, this app right here is trying to get permission to record. Do you want to stop it? That's never happened before in my phone. So I think even the Samsung people are trying to cover mm-hmm. their end to go, we're putting in extra things inside our phones to stop all the apps in the phones from gaining your information. So Samsung is shoring up its end before other companies. That upgrade that happened, that I'm talking about, happened last week.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so with everybody being so concerned about Roseanne, whether we should be watching it or not, what's really terrifying people on television is Sinclair's news propaganda, that video that synchronized all the newscasters from all kinds of different channels, but mostly Fox 178 channels
altogether, that is literally running about a good chunk of the United States media. Mm.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, they need to be disbanded with an antitrust lawsuit, because that is, you know, that's literally feeding people a mindset. And people, we got to remember this. A lot of people are driven by their ego. And if you shatter the belief of their ego, the first thing they do is they get aggressive and they want to fight you. Mm. So imagine if you were able to shatter 178 TV channels of this aggressive thing that they've been teaching for the last, 20 years?
Right.
These people are not going to fight you because they won't believe that Sinclair News has been telling them a lie all this time, which it has, because these people live in a bubble.
Yeah, that's, you know, if you tell a lie early enough and often enough and just keep on doing it, these people start to believe it.
Right. You know, these televangelist people. Right. These evangelist people, right? Those Christian nut jobs. It's been said that they do try to wield the true word of God. However, if somebody comes into their group and starts to preach very loudly and start to dismiss the proper truth of the Bible, these people will blindly follow them. But when you then try to tell them that this is the wrong person you're following, they find it hard to believe because they've all been now mass indoctrinated into his lie, and their ego won't let them separate themselves from the lie, even though it can be shown it's a lie. Look at all those crazy ladies that were sitting there trying to support Donald Trump the other day in that round study group.
Oh yeah, against Stormy Daniels. They're just like,
It's like you're finding justifications for wrongs. This is no different than the Sinclair group. This is a lot of mindsets to undo right now. That's in the millions of people, and that's at least at least 100 million people. This country has 330 million people. That's at least 100 million people in this country with that mindset from that group.
Yeah, it's wild.
Very deep. It's very deep. That's very hard to undo.
There's a new book saying that actually Melania Trump is a lot more in charge than people think. That she might running the whole show herself.
Well, actually, this is what I'm convinced. Have you ever seen the movie Salt?
No.
It's Angelina Jolie, and turns out that she was braced to be a Russian spy, and her job was to infiltrate. And then once given the proper code, she turns into this Russian agent. I believe Melania Trump is a FSB Russian agent.
It wouldn't surprise me. She strikes me as an Orion slave girl. And, you know, in Star Trek, the Orion slave girls were the ones in charge, but they were sort of Trojan horses in the sense that, you know, these
infiltrate first and pretend that they're innocent, and then they turn around and bust you upside the head.
But part of me thinks that like we're trying to explain how we got in this mess in this country where the Republican Party and our president are so transparently and blatantly in the hands of an oligarch of Vladimir Putin.
Well, we got in this position because a lot of Democrats were too self-righteous in terms of how they were judging both Bernie and Hillary Clinton. And at the end of the day, they burnt themselves in the process. Notice, I didn't say one over the other. I said both. Sometimes some people get caught up in their own inner self-righteousness. They couldn't see the bigger picture. The bigger picture is if a Republican comes into office, he will then have the ability to appoint four Supreme Court justices that will have a say for a lifetime as you're living. People couldn't get over the fact that I can't stand Hillary Clinton. I can't stand Bernie. Well, that's why you got Trump. And now all of this madness is happening. You know, this is, you know,
but they kind of feel like we need this madness so that we'll all come together and get that result.
No. Sweetie, let me tell you something. Us black folks, we ain't coming together. And the black ones who think that they are talking to the white ones, we call them coons and call them out and drag them across their church and drag them across the internet. There have been many pastors so far that have tried to side with Trump that we have destroyed. We ain't having it no more. So this whole thing has created a fierce divide. But in the process, you know, hopefully somewhere along the way, a dialogue does come up and fix this. But it doesn't look like it's going to be one anytime soon.
Yeah, it's like, you know, with this Laura Ingraham woman, it's like, you know, all these Russian bots jumping on Twitter. I stand with Laura. Hashtag.
I've been one of those people that's like, you know, since Twitter came out, I've always been like, you know, how are these news articles? Like, they're basing like these whole news articles on two or three people tweeting. And you know, we know that like a lot of these things are just robots. And they're reporting
pushing it up,
it's really news. And it's just kind of like, it's like, that's the fake news. That's the fake
news. If this was under President Obama, this would not be happening. What do I mean by that? There would have already been an investigation into all these fake channels. Fines would have already been levied. Donald Trump is not doing anything to help put justice back in the right direction because all of this works to his base and all of this works to what he needs to get done for Putin.
Yeah.
What
election I want to talk about is Eric John Schmidt. He's running for the West Hollywood City Council. I think that James Duke Mason is also running for this. James Duke Mason is the son of from the Go-Go's Belinda Carlisle. We've had him on the podcast before because he did a, you know, very powerful coming out video as a teenager. We had him on. He was like 19 years old or something like that. And he wants to be very transparent about his campaign for running for office. So transparent that he's given up links to his dude's nudes profile. And he's like, I want to be like above the board, like, you know, and tell people like I'm a down to earth guy and this is who I am. And here's my like my sex things if you want to watch.
And he's 51 years old. Mm-hmm. He's a sexy daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, send me the link because I want a screenshot.
Do you have a dude's nude account?
No, I don't. But, you know,
you can set one up.
No, I don't believe in joining accounts to see stuff. Sorry.
It is interesting that, like,
I don't even have a Grindr account. I don't even have a Scruff account. And the only reason why I had a Scruff and a Grindr was to try to let LGBT people in Harlem know that there was actually a LGBT organization up here designed to give them somewhere to go to.
And what organization is that? Your Glory Hall?
No, bitch. You tried it. We had a group of was called the Hamilton LGBT group that was created for this neighborhood so that the gays up here would know that there was some place for them and they didn't have to keep going downtown to Chelsea or Hell's Kitchen, that we created places up here for them that they could go to and hang out in and feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. However, the people from Grindr, that same Chinese company, when I told them that I wanted to create a safe haven in Harlem, they deleted my account.
Well, yeah, because you have to have it for your personal kind of things. It's not for organizations like that. Like, whenever I would get stuff from, like, HIV organizations and stuff, I was just like, well, I appreciate your efforts. But that's not why I'm here.
And it's not a, it's like, it's not, it violates the terms of service of the app.
But well, there are some people who pay that when you turn on your Grindr account, you can see that they're doing this party at X, Y, and Z place. And the companies pay for it.
Yeah, they pay for it.
Here in New York.
Yeah, they pay for it.
Yes, it's paid for.
Yeah, it's paid for.
And that's what I wanted to pay for. But once I told them that this is what it was for, to create a place in Harlem for the LGBT community, they decided to delete the account.
Well, maybe they're just racist. Right.
Well, I think part of it is that I know from Scruff, they have provisions for nonprofits to promote their services.
No, Scruff is very good, but you can also only promote that party once every 3 months. It's quarterly.
Mm.
Yeah, I feel bad for the people that work at Grindr because they're just like. You know, we have friends who work in their
Zach
media.
Stafford, who's been a guest of the podcast, I don't know, 7 or 8 times, is now, I think he's their editor.
And, Zach's a decent fellow. Mm-hmm. He has a conscience, I'd like to think. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he's racked with guilt with the fact that all our, personal data is being sold out.
Here's the thing. It has nothing to do with him. It has to do with that Chinese company that's in charge that's telling him what he has to do if he wants to keep his job.
That's not a fair place to put anybody in.
No, he's being put in a hard position. And sweetie, if I were you, do your job and keep your money until it hits the news. If you could get a job over at the other competition, do so. Good luck.
I'm sure he's working on it. I can't speak for him, but and I don't know. I haven't talked to him about this, but I'm sure he's putting resume in already.
You know the gays are going to scream a lot of outrage on how dare you give up my HIV status to a third party. But it's not just giving up the HIV status. They're also giving out the location. That is real full invasion.
Mm. And the worst thing is like it encourages people to lie about their HIV status and not get tested, which is defeats the whole purpose of finding HIV infections. Yeah.
The whole idea is to know your status and be open about it with the person who you're going to be with, because there are PAWS on PAWS groups. I have a friend up in Canada who runs a PAWS party every month, and she's, a fierce DJ. Her name, Jade Electra. She's very open about that stuff. But, in America, we're still trying to come to terms with it because we've been so maligned for the last 27 years, by the straight community, trying to make it seem like HIV is a negative thing. It's a stain on society. And now here comes a company selling our private information out to third sources who can then turn around and decide to use this against you. I mean, imagine if they then started to then sell this to insurance companies, and then you sign up as a gay man and be like, oh, sorry, we can't give it to you because we saw that on your Grindr account that you were HIV positive. You already have a predisposed condition, mm-hmm. That's just wrong. That's the reason why President Obama's, fought for that law to make sure that pre-existing conditions weren't a part of trying to get insurance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now we're back to square one in this direction again.
It's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. It is.
But baby, we got each other and we make an amazing community and we can overcome anything.
Let me tell you something. Right now, due to RuPaul's Drag Race giving the gays a little bit of expressive freedomism. What do I mean by that? From the time the show has been on in the last 10 years, it's allowed so many LGBT, and I call them all fierce people, to come forward and show the world what they can do. Have you seen the amount of art and artwork that's going on Instagram these days?
The what?
The amount of art and artwork going on mm-hmm. Instagram due to the amount of gays adding their color into the rainbow. We are kicking the straight people's ass across the universe. But it's not only just the gays, it's the straight allies that are also into artwork are using this RuPaul's Drag Race platform to show the world that they can. There are some really talented people out there. And I don't mean by the handful. I mean by the hundreds of thousands that I look at day to day. And it's like, honey, we are kicking Anna Wintour's fashion empire we are kicking her ass. Kicking her ass. They cannot keep up with us. They cannot keep up with us.
Because why? Because gay stands for what, Vivacious?
Generations ahead of yesterday, honey. And you know what? We are fierce faggots. We are fierce faggots. You know what it means? Mm-hmm. Fierce and gorgeous, gorgeous overtime. That's who we are.
Vivacious. Vivacious, thank you so much for helping us reminisce this amazing, iconic moments of Drag Race. So you're going to be on All Stars 4 or 5.
I would love to be on All Stars 4 or 5. Somebody call
me. Are you fish yet?
Huh?
Are you tilapia? Are you carp?
Oh, I have. There's one hurdle in the game of fish before I get to All Stars, and I'm working on it right now, and that is how to style and manage wigs. And so if integration would get my video together, high integration, then I can learn how to get that tutorial done. They're on Instagram. Integration. Somebody go tell them that I'm waiting for my video, please. I paid for it.
Well, you can always enroll for wig styling schools at Mr. Ray's Wig World.
Who the hell is that?
I don't know. It's a John Waters reference.
Okay.
Vivacious, thank you so much for kikiing with us.
Love kikiing with you. And remember, Vanjie, Miss Vanjie, Miss Vanjie, she better work.
Bye, Vivacious.
Bye, Vivacious. Bye, my love.
It was a pleasure speaking to you both.
Always, my dear.
Miss Vivacious lives in New York City. Check her out on Instagram, Facebook land, all the lands across the land. Vivacious NYC. And order yourself an Ornacia.
Get it through Instagram. She just message her and be like, I want an Ornacia.
Get it. And if you want to listen to podcasts with pretty much everybody from RuPaul to all the drag queens of years past, you can become a premium member at our website, feastoffun.com/plus, where you can access 14 years?
14 years of podcasts.
Of podcasts.
You know, just search a new thing, see what you like, hit on it, and then if you go down to the bottom, there'll be tags, and there'll be tags, so if, like, this person's been in one show, maybe you'll see them in another show or talked about, that kind of thing.
It's and a lot fun. Of the drag queens, you can even hear the Alaska's first podcast with Sharon Needles, where we're like...
And she was like, who's this person you brought along with you, Sharon?
Yeah, we're like, why do you keep dragging people over here?
God, some people were like 3 years later, like, oh my God, I listened to that podcast with Sharon in Alaska, and you guys barely asked Alaska anything. I'm like, well, Sharon had just won, like, Drag Race.
And Alaska was very, very quiet and very shy when we first met her.
Yeah.
She was not the Alaska we know today.
And she also, she's a huge star.
And now she's, you know, one of the most influential and iconic queens of Drag Race. Yeah. And maybe you'll be the next drag queen, iconic
Talked
drag
about
queen.
On Feast of Fun.
Yeah. Maybe you, dear listener, who's listening right now, putting on your makeup and getting ready for your show tonight, maybe you'll be the next queen. Maybe you'll be the first cisgendered woman to be on Drag Race. Maybe you'll be the first... drag queen with psychic abilities to be ability to levitate those tits and up. Maybe you'll be the first harmonica player on Drag Race. Maybe you'll be the first contortionist who can be on Drag Race. Maybe the first daredevil motorcycle rider to be on Drag Race. And you'll impact the show and change the drag world forever.
Forever. And ever. I want to thank you guys for listening and remind you too, if you'd like to make a one-time donation, you can do that at feastoffun.com/donate. And more importantly, right now we're having a GoFundMe for Fausto to help him recover from his cancer. So if you like the show, if you've been listening to the show for a long time and you want to hear it continue, we got to keep Fausto healthy and alive.
Most importantly, pay those bills.
Yeah, pay those bills.
So, you know, healthcare in the United States isn't cheap, and we value, and I personally value all your support, and you know, I'll let you guys know what's going on with all this as I know. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Ornacia came, Ornacia slayed, blew them by knees all the way.
snacks a clown she should have owned. See that walk walk over town. Held the rain would flare. Made them kiss hot dairy air. Yes, Miss Girl, you must agree. Or nature went down in history. Serving, giving glamazon. Anisha's gonna chop you with her fan.